We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
This is Doc Insider.
Doc's going to pick it up, and here we go.
Got him deep. He's open. He's got it. He's gone.
How about that?
Oregon repeats as the Pac-12 champion.
Duarte pulls up. Three ball. Bang.
I'm LJ Figueroa.
Oregon goes back to back for the fourth time in the last 6 years. The Ducks are Pac-12 champions.
Foley three. Goal! And Foley ball.
Mikesell fires and hits a three.
Left wing. Pow, pow.
Yeah, boom, boom.
Welcome to Duck Insider.
What a weekend.
We're just getting started.
This is Doc Insider on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College, presented by On Point Community Credit Union. Better banking, local solutions. Live from the Country Financial Studio, here's Joey Mack.
What are you going on this weekend? I haven't seen nothing on the schedule. It's not like there's a major golf tournament or a bunch of Major League Baseball or basketball, hockey, and oh, by the way, a bunch of Duck sports going on this weekend, too. Hi, everybody. I'm Joey Mack. Thanks for joining us for another edition of Duck Insider, presented by On Point Community Credit Union. We're inside the Country Financial Studio. If you're live with us in the 1 o'clock hour, then we've got a ton of sporting events to tell you about, including a big weekend for the Diamond Sports for Oregon Athletics. Oregon softball, 5 o'clock on Pac-12 Network and on the radio side. Our buddies at KWVA Eugene 88.1 FM will have the call. Oregon and UCLA. That's a big-time weekend for the Ducks. And let's see. I'm hoping that things are going to go well for the Ducks. Also of note, today, I want everybody to know, today Dana Altman is meeting with the media. If you're live with us in the 1 o'clock hour, he's just about to talk to the media. So obviously we will not have that interview for you on the show today. I will have it for you on the show on Monday in addition to our full weekend recap. But you'll see a lot of news and notes from Oregon basketball. And look, it's another basketball offseason. Things are a little nutty. Things are a lot nutty for Oregon basketball, and the transfer portal going crazy, as Coach Altman said. So we'll see what Dane Altman decides to tell everybody today, and we'll have it for you here coming up. Also of note for that Diamond Sport, the big weekend, Oregon and Oregon State on the baseball diamond at PK Park. 7 o'clock start for Oregon and Oregon State tonight. We'll have a 6:45 pregame show right here on the Oregon Sports Network, televised on Pac-12 Network as well. This is a really, really big series for the Ducks. It's a top 25 matchup. It's a rivalry weekend, but it's also a chance for Oregon to, I think, really assert themselves in the Pac-12 standings. Ducks are coming off a non-conference weekend where they went 4-0 against New Mexico State, but they dropped a midweeker against Portland on Tuesday. Not a good day for the Ducks. Coach Waskowski said that it was the worst that the Ducks have played this year when they lost that game to Portland. So how do they bounce back now? And they're going to have to bounce back. They're going to have to bounce back in a weekend that means more, I think, in the context of the season than we can really quantify at this point, because we're nearing the halfway point of the baseball season, and the Ducks are a top 25 squad that's in the running for regionals. They're not only in the running for regionals, they're in the running to host regionals. You win this game, man, could go a long way for that postseason resume. You win this series, it could go a long way for the postseason resume. We're going to hear from Mark Waskowski, Oregon baseball head coach, in just a moment. Also, spring football interviews for you. Alex Forsyth, Johnny Johnson III. Yeah, we're going to hear from them coming up. A lot of updates from spring football. And I want to mention that women's soccer is in action. If you're live with us, coming up in a couple hours up at Washington, Graham Abel is going to talk with us about, well, the fact that his team is still right there. Don't tell Coach Abel I'm saying this. His office is right across from ours, but it's okay. He's in Seattle. Ducks are in the running for postseason play for the first time in program history, which is just awesome. You know, it's so cool to see what they've done. So we're going to hear from him coming up, and a few other updates on some future Pro Ducks as well. Let's jump into baseball, though. Mark Waskowski, got a chance to talk with him earlier this week. Myself, a few other members of the media asking him some questions heading into a pivotal weekend between Oregon and Oregon State on the baseball diamond. 7 o'clock tonight, 6:30 on Saturday, 4 o'clock on Sunday. That's the weekend schedule at PK Park. And fans, tickets are out there on GoDucks.com. I understand that there might be a few extras that have trickled into the availability pool because maybe the Beavers didn't claim all their tickets. GoDucks.com has you covered for those baseball tickets. Mark Waskowski earlier this week previewing Oregon and Oregon State at PK Park.
It was only a couple of weeks ago that you played these guys. So what do you take from the last meeting with them that can carry over to this one in terms of lessons learned, matchups, in particular with their pitchers?
Well, it's a good question. I mean, one takeaway I'd like to get out of it is to at least win the series again. That was a positive out of the first run through. So if we can do that again, that'd be awesome. You know, when it comes to the matchups, I mean, they're really good. I said that at the time, even after we beat them 2 out of 3, I said they've got really good players, and they've got really good pitchers. The stat sheet will tell you that, and your eyeballs tell you that as you're just at the field. So, you know, matchups and all that kind of stuff, it really comes down to who's going to play better. I think it's pretty evenly matched series, evenly matched clubs. Who plays the game better is going to end up winning more games.
Hey, Coach, could you kind of tell me what the good you saw out of Isaac Ayon and RJ Gordon, and if you have, you know, any ideas about potentially using Gordon as like an opener in another one of these Tuesday or Thursday games?
Well, I mean, they're both very talented young arms. You know, anybody who can throw a baseball 96 miles an hour like Ayon and 94 miles an hour like Gordon, they throw it multiple pitches for strikes. They're still young. You see that. Real Britain, still young. You know, some of these kids, Scotty Ellis, still young, all with really good arms, and they need experience. You know, they still make mistakes. You know, yesterday Isaac Ayon was pretty good. If you take out the 3 times he had hitters in 2 strike counts, you know, in a 0-2 and 1-2 count, he was 0-for-3 on getting the breaking ball in the dirt where it needs to be in those counts, and he got punished in those 3 scenarios. So that's learning stuff. You got to be able to figure that out and grow from it. He'll have plenty more opportunities to get back out there midweek or weekend. I mean, those guys are talented people that we're definitely not going to hold back on trying to get out there.
Waz, this series with Oregon State is kind of, for all intents and purposes, the halfway point of the year. Where are you guys as far as, you know, feeling ahead or behind? Where would you like to be, and what would you still like to see this team do as you go into the back half of the year?
Well, I mean, the gurus will tell you we're way ahead because all the gurus didn't even have us ranked in the top 50, and right now we're in the top 25. So, you know, whatever that means. You know, where did we have ourselves at this point in the season? I didn't really look at it that way. I knew that we had a ball club that needed to develop a winning mentality and just learn how to win baseball games. I knew we had pieces and we had some talent, but had never had any success. And that, those were the things that I talked about, you know, in the early goings of the season. You know, here now, as we've developed a way to win, you know, we've gotten a little bit greedy and we've tried to start really tapping into, well, are there other ways to win? Maybe more offense, maybe some other answers. And the bottom line is that I like where we're at, you know, the guys have bought in. They believe that they're a good team. They believe that they can win. We have talent in a lot of different places. And if there's one frustrating part, it's the lack of fall baseball with a lot of our people. And we're kind of using the season right now as a fall season for several guys. You know, Anthony Hall was hurt. Robbie Ashford was playing football. Colby Shade was limited during the fall, amongst plenty other guys that and then throw in the mix that even during the fall, we weren't even allowed to have guys run the bases. That's a fairly big component of baseball during fall baseball when you're trying to develop pitchers to hold runners, trying to see how guys actually have instincts when they run the bases and who does and who doesn't. And when you lose all that kind of stuff, you know, you start finding that out during your spring scrimmages when the first time we had base runners was allowed. And then unfortunately during the year, sometimes the negative moments are some of these things that you'd like to have accomplished during fall ball. Reads in the outfield, jumps, all those kind of just small details. Those things usually get handled early. And this is a year where not getting handled as early as you'd like them to. So the fun part is you're seeing a bunch of young, talented players out there that that I think are going to be really good. And the coaches are excited. We get a chance to work with these guys every day.
Robbie had a couple of opportunities there with runners in scoring position yesterday and just couldn't put one in play. And he's kind of had some struggles over the course of the year. Is that just an adjustment to the speed of college pitchers, or is there a confidence thing you guys are trying to work through with him at the plate?
Well, you know, yes and no. I mean, I thought he had one of our better at-bats of the day in his first at-bat, in a 3-2 count after he batted a little bit. And he drilled a sac fly to center field. The center fielder made a nice play on it. That was one of the better at-bats of the day. He made a catch in the seventh inning in the right center field gap that was boring to watch in person. And on video, you go back and you just go, holy cow, he made that look so easy. And that was a really hard play. And he made it look easy, and then he screwed one up earlier on a ball that was hit almost right at him. One step to his right in center field that was worth a couple of runs. And obviously, the kid doesn't want to screw up. None of us want to see anybody screw up, but he made a mistake in one instance. A couple of the other at-bats that he had might have gotten away from him. You know, I mean, hitting's going to come and go, as we've seen, whether it's Kenyon or Gabe or any of the guys. Robbie's a very talented young player. And again, he's a guy that you see it on a daily basis where it's just inconsistent. There's tremendous moments, and unfortunately it can be on kind of both sides of the street. And that's what you get out of a young player. Usually, you usually get your buckets of really good and your buckets is not so really good. And then the consistency comes when guys get older, and they mature a little bit more. So Robbie Ashford's a very talented player. Obviously you always want more time with him. I'm sure football wants more time with him. Everybody wants more time with him. Why not? You know, the kid's good and he's trying to be a starter in both sports, and it's really hard to do that at the University of Oregon. It'd just be a starter in one sport is hard enough.
Is he going to be able to travel with you on those weekends?
Yeah, well, those are great. That's a great question, James. And that's something where, you know, football has been great. Mario, Matt Neuer, you know, the whole crew over there has been flat out awesome. We talk every single day, like four times a day, on scheduling with Robbie to make sure we're compliant with NCAA rules. And then on top of that, we talk every day about just where he is on a daily basis. Good play usually yields results in both sports. I want Robbie to have an opportunity to play football. And so a lot of those discussions right now between us and the football crew are, well, where does he stand right now? If he's not going to be playing on our field one day, then getting reps on the football field is going to be important that day. We've already seen several times yesterday, you know, he got to the field literally to hit in one batting practice group, you know, and was on the football field all morning long. This last weekend, there was times where he showed up well on the doubleheader day versus New Mexico State. he missed the first game and was on the football field the entire morning until we saw him in the seventh inning. And then I think he came out of the locker room, literally stretched. Well, he was already stretched out, but came out of the locker room and we put him in for defense kind of in the eighth inning. And so it's a mutual day-to-day work in progress in terms of, you know, sharing the time and trying to share it wisely. I'm not going to get greedy and say, hey, you got to be on the baseball field when he's not playing. And football's been awesome too. They've been more receptive to give this young man as many opportunities with baseball as possible. And obviously he's, from what I hear, when he gets in open space on the football field, he's opened some eyes out there as well. So again, kind of a tremendously talented kid that's trying to scratch the surface and become a starter in both sports. And both coaches in football and baseball are willing to give that young man that opportunity, and others for that matter that are interested in doing that. To close on that, I would say this much. We're not going to use any talented player that potentially has a chance to play two sports at the University of Oregon. We're never going to use their talents against them and penalize them for being extraordinary, I guess is my statement to that. And I know Coach Moorhead and Coach Cristobal feel the exact same way.
To Gabe Matthews breaking that doubles record as, and setting the program record now, doing it yesterday. What has the secret to his consistency kind of been, and just what has that kind of meant to the program for him to be, you know, in the record books like that?
Well, I can't speak for his first couple of years. You know, I can only speak for the time that I've been here with Gabe, and he's a leader. He does things right every single day. He's been a tremendous student. He graduated on time. And he's never really come across my desk in a negative way whatsoever, like missing class, missing tutors, being disrespectful to anybody. He's a guy that's a very low maintenance player in a program. He wants to be in postseason play. That's why he returned to Oregon this year instead of going out and taking an opportunity with a professional club. And, you know, being consistent enough to be able to break a record, any record, is awesome. And so for Gabe's standpoint, he works his tail off. I'm thrilled with him. You know, during the COVID times, as soon as they opened up our facilities, he was in there every single morning with Aaron Zavala at 8 a.m. every single day. And those were not required hours or anything like that. Those were just voluntary times where he was doing that on his own, getting lifting in on his own, doing everything he could to prepare himself for the season. And so any success a guy like that has, or somebody that has his work ethic and determination, I'm going to be pulling for.
His move down to six in the order has clearly paid some dividends for the lineup. You know, he had two bombs last week. He's seen a lot more fastballs and hitting the ball just much better than he was. Do you anticipate that move kind of becoming permanent and trying to add depth to your lineup, or do you think you can move him back up to fourth?
Time will tell. You know, I mean, that's a day-to-day deal. We moved him to fifth yesterday, and it didn't jinx him. He did just fine, which was great. I don't know that where he hits in the order is super critical to his success, to be honest with you. I just think he needed to start feeling good about having some results. He has recently, and he's swinging about better statistically in recent weeks.
Are you trying to match Abel with Ahlstrom, or are you okay with any of them matching him?
Oh, I don't care what they do with their pitching. They've got good pitching. I don't look at their pitching and say, you know, if they did this, we do this. No, it's going to be real simple. I mean, we roll with the guys we roll with, and we're going to have Ahlstrom, Kafka, and Walker pitching on the weekend. And what they decide to do is their decisions. I respect their decisions. Again, I think they have very good players in their program. They have very good pitchers in their program. They have some depth that's clear. And whatever they choose to do, the only extent of what we would do would potentially, James, be lineup-wise, you know, who we would feel like potentially may match up maybe with a certain arm in a certain spot if we have the flexibility there. Other than that, in terms of our pitching rotation, no, it's real simple. As long as our guys are healthy and cleared and available to play, our pitching rotation's been good so far. I think Coach Angier's nailed it, and we'll stick with that moving forward.
That's Mark Wasikowski, the Oregon baseball head coach, previewing the top 25 matchup between Oregon and Oregon State at PK Park. Ducks won the series in Corvallis about a month ago. Now they're going to try and win the one in Eugene. That was a non-conference series up in Corvallis. These ones mean a little bit more for the Pac-12 standings. Actually, they mean a lot more for the Pac-12 standings. big opportunity for the Ducks in front of them. 6:45 pregame show across the Oregon Sports Network tonight. 7 o'clock first pitch, also televised on Pac-12 Network. Ducks will then play game 2 at PK Park at 6:30 coming up on Saturday, and at 4 o'clock on Sunday when Oregon will go for hopefully a series sweep. We'll find out. Baseball, man, this is fun. And it's supposed to be beautiful tonight, by the way. Like crisp, sunny, beautiful tonight at PK Park. I'm looking forward to it. Up next, we're going to talk a little Oregon football. Spring football updates with Alex Forsyth, a leader on the offensive line, and Johnny Johnson, who might be part of the most competitive position group on this Oregon football roster, the wide receiver spot. More coming up. Talking football next on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
From the weight room to the classroom, on the field and off it, OnPoint proudly supports University of Oregon athletics because student athletes do so much more than bring us pride on game day. They bring our entire community together in Eugene and all across Oregon. So whether you're watching the game in the stadium, at home, or at your favorite local business, their success makes all of us stronger. OnPoint Community Credit Union. Join in. OnPointCU.com. Federally insured by NCUA. Equal housing opportunity.
As my family continued to grow, I realized I'd have to replace my beloved Jeep with something that has, well, more seats. I'm Jason Hines, Country Financial Rep and father of 7. Whether you're upgrading from your sporty ride with no room for a car seat or finally replacing your well-loved beater that still has a cassette player, you'll want the right protection for your new car. Work with a Country Financial Rep like me and get the protection you need at a price you can afford. Learn more at TakeSimpleSteps.com or contact a local country representative.
Your daily dose of Oregon athletics. This is Duck Insider from Learfield IMG College.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous, as in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
I'm Little Teapot, short and stout.
Here is my handle and here is my spout.
No, Dad, like this. When I get all steamed up, then I shout, tip me over and
pour me out.
This is WWE superstar Roman Reigns. It only takes a moment to make a moment. Take time to be a dad today.
Visit fatherhood.gov, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Insider presented by On Point Community Credit Union. Joey Mack here with you, calling all cookie lovers. Come check out Crumble Cookies if you're in the Eugene area off Coburg Road. You're definitely going to want to do that. It's just an overall good time. Jeffrey asking a good question. Any word on fans for the spring game? Not yet. Still a long ways away. I will say that I keep track of the level of risk that Lane County is in from the Oregon Health Authority, and let's just say it's going up, which is not a good thing. So wear those masks, avoid those gatherings, and then hopefully it's a nice spring day and can have some spaced-out fans at the spring game. But no, I don't have any updates on that, and we're hoping that things will be trending in the right direction. Dustin also asking about single-game football tickets. No news yet. Season tickets for the Oregon football season are on sale. Ducks are trying to plan as best they can, but similar with the spring game, we just don't know what things are going to look like for those individual tickets. So, as you can imagine, Dustin, it's tough for the Duck Ticket Office to try to forecast something that they have no control over in terms of how many people are allowed to be there and gather. So, I wish I had more answers to those questions. I'd like to know the answers to those questions as well. And Jeffrey, Dustin, please keep asking, because it's a good reminder for me to try to have that information for you as quick as I can. But unfortunately, still in a holding pattern on that, as it's tough to forecast, as you can imagine. Also, Tobias was asking, any men's or women's basketball program or players announcing they're coming back? So more updates coming from Dane Altman as he meets with the media today. Will Richardson, Eric Williams, looks like they're probably going to investigate their NBA potential, as they should. But I don't have any updates on Taylor Mikesell. I imagine that Kelly Graves will probably wrap things up maybe next week or so, and he'll do similar to what Coach Altman is doing today. So there's my update. So seriously, though, I will do my best to answer any question that I can. Sometimes I don't have the answer. I wish I did, but I will effort to get the answer as well. Talk about getting answers. How about we get some answers from Alex Forsythe, huh? The Oregon offensive lineman who has really become a leader for this team, I think in more ways than one. Alex had some pretty honest answers to some questions today as the Duck offensive lineman met with the media yesterday following spring football practice, and the Ducks are going to be back on the field again working out tomorrow. Alex Forsythe meeting with the media.
Alex, one of the things that Coach Maribol was talking to us about is just how much different this spring looks, seeing that you guys have so many of those early enrollees being able to both bolster the depth. How do you think that has helped your guys' group, and what are you maybe seeing from some of the young guys?
Yeah, you know, I think it's always really good to have a lot of bodies in spring ball, especially at the O-line. And those guys are doing really well. I think especially the guys that came in a little bit earlier during the winter time. You know, they really attacked the playbook, and that's the one thing that all the older guys told them is the quickest way on the field is, you know, knowing what you're doing and why you're doing it. So it starts with the playbook, and I think they've all really attacked that and taken pride and ownership in knowing and trying to master the playbook. That's hard to do. They're really, really should be seniors in high school, so you got to kind of still keep that in mind that they're learning a college offense, and stuff's getting thrown at them left and right, especially with school and stuff too. That's a lot. But all of them are handling it really well. And I think having a lot of depth is great, cause you can try guys that, you know, new positions, you can move guys around. And spring is really a time where you get to see guys, if they improved, a lot from the past season. And I think that's really important.
Alex, with all the starters back from last season, do you feel like you guys are now kind of an experienced unit, a veteran unit, or because it was kind of a wonky season and a short sample size, do you feel like you guys are still kind of new to this whole thing?
I'd say, I think the best way is probably calling us experienced. I don't think we've earned the veteran tag yet. I think you gotta play quite a few more games and, you know, perform really well in those games, be considered, you know, a veteran unit. But I'd say we're definitely experienced. You know, we got to see a lot of stuff last year. We're grateful to play in a Pac-12 championship game and a New Year's Six game. So that was really good experience for all of us. Played some really talented defensive linemen, front seven. So, you know, I think we grew a lot last year. We certainly learned a lot. So we just got to carry that over to, you know, this spring and fall camp and all the way in and through the season.
Another one of the things that Coach Maribol was talking about was how difficult it was to kind of like simulate plays with your hands and practice, do certain things. How much of that is different this spring, and how much could that help you guys as a group just get better from a technical and fundamental perspective?
Oh, it's definitely a lot better. I think when he was talking about that, he was talking about striking the med balls, correct? Yeah. Yeah. So he, you know, that it was kind of hard with all the protocol stuff in the summer. You really have to, you know, make do with what you got. And we couldn't really strike anybody and do stuff with that. And obviously that's critical to offensive line play, as everybody knows. So definitely it was tough. So you really had to simulate that in different ways, just kind of go on air. But obviously that's air doesn't hit back. So, and D linemen definitely hit back. So that's a big thing. And, you know, this spring it's pretty much normal right now with what we're doing. It's just a normal spring. So we're getting a lot more reps at the, you know, inside run with the D line. And I think that's really, really helping us as an O-line and a D line.
A tough year from a run blocking standpoint and production standpoint. And Coach had mentioned that as well. So just how much of that is an emphasis this whole off season, but starting in the spring about that. And you talk about like, hey, part of it is it's hard to accomplish what you want on Saturdays if you're not doing it all week, and you were limited in that way. So how much of that has just been an emphasis starting this spring?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's been an emphasis since I got here is, you know, got to establish the line of scrimmage, both sides of the ball. So with our offensive line and our defensive line, and it's good that we're doing a lot of, you know, run blocking stuff with the D line, a lot of team periods where they know it's run, we know it's run, so let's just get after it. And that, you know, that's definitely hard for the O-line, because, you know, they know it's run, so they don't have to think if it's, you know, if they're going to pass rush or whatever their thought process is. But it gets us better, because it's the hardest thing we have to do is when they know it's a run and they give us a loaded box, and, you know, we gotta go block that and, you know, execute it to the best of our ability. So I think it's definitely, you know, the run game wasn't where we wanted it last year. And we take full ownership, and, you know, we take pride in the run game, and we take full ownership of, you know, the lack of production. And we know we got to be better, and we will be better.
What's it like a second year in the system still? Are you seeing, you know, things come quicker? And I guess, where do you expect to see, you know, marked improvements a second year in to the offense?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, last year was just a really five new starters. That's tough to, you know, come in and, you know, strive to perform at the same level that, you know, the guys before us, the really, really great and elite offensive lines, or one of the greatest and most elite offensive lines in college football, in 2019. And so trying to follow that up and, you know, set the standard and, you know, keep striving for that standard was, you know, it was tough. It was tough, especially with a bunch of new guys, and you had a modified fall camp, but we don't like to make excuses here. So we didn't get it done. And, you know, I think there's so much to improve on, but I think one thing we all learned is, you know, we learned that you got to play together. And we always say five men, one mind. You got to be on the same page, whether I'm making the call, the tackle's got to know why is he making that call, versus what front. They got to know, everybody's got to know, you know, the holistic picture of everything if we want to be five minds as one. So I think that's a big thing that, you know, we're trying to emphasize this spring, is just five guys got to play as one, and that's where we're most powerful.
What's George Moore like to be around, and just like what sort of perspective does a guy that's in his seventh year of playing college football lend to a locker room that brought in like four freshmen this year in this class? Just what sort of experience does that lend to you guys?
Yeah, George, first of all, George is probably the funniest person I ever met. He's one of my guys on the team. And he's, you know, he's a veteran. He's been here. He likes to say he's only been here, or he's only played college football for six, but I always tell him it's seven. So I don't let him have any leeway on that. So he never hears at the end of it from me. But, you know, he's been here the same amount of time as I have, but he played the years in junior college too. So he's been through it. He's seen a lot of stuff. He's like a super veteran. So he's really good with helping the young guys. I think we all trying to, you know, take the guys under our wing. And, you know, we were at that point like once too, you know, none of us enrolled early, but we were freshmen once too. And, you know, there's a lot flying at you. And when you got to come in and, you know, start with winter workouts, and those are tough, and you got to balance a full class load, that's really tough. So you just, there's a lot of stuff flying at you. And so he's been really good about, you know, helping the young guys, whether it be the young offensive tackles or young center guards, whatever it is, he's been really good about that. And he's always been a guy that, you know, you can look up to and, you know, ask for help on stuff.
Alex, one of the topics that we've kind of been learning about this week is KT's new role. You know, as an offensive lineman, you know, you may not be going up against him as much since he's kind of on the outside, but how has, you know, the approach maybe changed to blocking him, or what you're seeing from him in practice?
Yeah, you know, we first of all, I mean, he's obviously an elite football player, so the change of position for him is like nothing. He's going to be great at whatever he does, whatever position they put him at. So we don't block him any different. You know, you always got to, he's got a lot more speed on the edge than a lot of people. So that's one thing you really got to take into account. Like you said, I haven't blocked him a whole lot. But, you know, we've all seen what he can do to other offensive lines. He can completely change a game. So I think, you know, him playing that new position allows him to, you know, just play free and play fast and play all over the field. But yeah, so we don't change a whole lot of what we do in order to block him. But that doesn't mean he's any easier for everybody to block.
Alex Forsyth, great stuff. I love that conversation about George Moore, you know, just what he brings to the team. They've got a lot of guys that really are veterans on this team, but you know what's great is that he still is saying, now we haven't earned that veteran tag yet. Well, you know what that tells me? That those guys all grew up behind Calvin Throckmorton, Jake Hansen, guys like Dallas Womack, who transferred in, Brady Aiello. You know, I think about that a lot, that, man, how fortunate were we to see the Shane Lemieux of that group be there for so long and be the veterans that they were. I mean, that is a whole new level of veteran that those offensive linemen established starting from their redshirt freshman year all the way through. That's what these guys now are chasing and trying to attain. I'm curious to see how they do it this year. You could see Alex Forsythe, man, they're taking ownership of the fact that they did not block for the run as well as they would like to this year. Now to another guy on the offensive side. We're going to hear from Johnny Johnson when we come back. Johnny Johnson III, I think he's part of the most competitive room on the roster. I think the wide receiver is the most competitive position right now. We're going to hear from Johnny Johnson when we come back, talking spring football on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
Dear Freedom, Toyota hybrids say, let's go faster and further with 10 hybrid models to choose from and tons of top tech. The best part? Every Toyota hybrid offers an extended hybrid battery warranty for 10 years or 150,000 miles. So let's go places. Toyota hybrids.
For Toyota hybrid, plug-in hybrid, and fuel cell and battery electric vehicles beginning with model year 2020. The hybrid HV battery is covered for 10 years from original date of first use or 150,000 miles, whichever comes first. Coverage is subject to terms and conditions of your new vehicle limited warranty. See owner's warranty and maintenance card for details.
From the weight room to the classroom, on the field and off it, OnPoint proudly supports University of Oregon athletics because student athletes do so much more than bring us pride on game day. They bring our entire community together in Eugene and all across Oregon. So whether you're watching the game in the stadium, at home, or at your favorite local business, their success makes all of us stronger. OnPoint Community Credit Union. Join in. OnPointCU.com. Federally insured by NCUA. Equal housing opportunity.
You're listening to Duck Insider. Duck Insider on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
Ugh, what are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
What are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. It's been a long time since we've had an adventure in the forest.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
You're right. I should get out.
Yeah, the forest is not that far away.
Hey, Mom!
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
It's important to buckle up your kids.
I know.
Sometimes car seats can be complicated.
I know.
And if your child's in the wrong seat and you get into a crash...
I know.
It could lead to a serious injury.
I know.
So you're 100% sure you have the right car seat for your child's age and size?
I don't know.
Don't think you know. Know you know. Car crashes are a leading killer of children 1 to 13. Make sure you have the right car seat. Visit safercar.gov/the right seat. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Joey Mack welcoming you back to Duck Insider, presented by On Point Community Credit Union. We're inside the Country Financial Studio talking about that wide receiver position for the Ducks, Johnny Johnson III. Really, he's a super senior. That's what we're calling him now, right? He kind of is a super senior in a lot of ways, but they've got some guys that really flashed, particularly young guys that you'll hear about, as Johnny Johnson III met with the media yesterday, talking all sorts of different things with the reporters.
Johnny, take me back to after the game in Glendale, man. You were the last one off. And that looked like that might have been the end. What went through your mind in the days after and ultimately deciding to come back?
I just know the decision was weighing heavy on me, whether coming back or not. And, you know, just seeing that confetti go in the air and it wasn't us celebrating, I think that kind of just sat with me the wrong way. And, you know, I was kind of just taking everything in for my decision. And ultimately that helped make my decision because I didn't want to end that way as a Duck. And, you know, I wanted to do great things here.
Johnny, how strange is it, I guess, you go into last year thinking for the longest time that's your last season, and then for you and Jalen both be back this year, kind of how weird is it that you're back for another year, and obviously you had probably thought that you wouldn't be here maybe around now last year this time?
Yeah, it's interesting. Obviously, I'm allowed to be around a lot more of these younger guys that I wouldn't have been able to meet. So it's real good. I'm able to lead and have knowledge of the game and continue to get better as a player. So, you know, it's weird, but I look at it as an opportunity for me to get even better so that when I get to the next level, you know, I'm more polished and ready to go.
What are some of those things that you want to do this year to improve, to get ready for that next level?
Overall, get better as a player. I think definitely learning more defenses, higher level defenses, and you know, just how things work besides just the back end, learning you know, blitzes and the different things that defense is key. I think that's going to be big for me, and you know, just continue to get better and polish my game.
Johnny, a couple guys that have everybody buzzing are the early and early freshmen, Troy and Dante. You know, what's it been like being around them, and what have you seen from them in spring football?
It's been great. They're hungry. They've been going at it, getting after it every day. You know, Troy's popped out a lot. His hands is second to none from what I've seen. You know, Dante's doing a great job. He continues to get better. He's making plays for us. I think he's going to be a great player here. So they're both doing a great job. I think they're taking in a lot of the coaching and, you know, going with us on this ride.
What are the expectations from a year one to year two jump with you personally, and then I guess just the offense in general?
I think there's a lot more growth. I think we kind of have an understanding of what he's going to call in different situations in different parts of the field. And I think that's helping us a lot. I think the connection just between him knowing what to call and knowing, you know, what we're capable of as players and us trusting his play calling, everything's coming together a lot smoother than it was last year.
You just talked about the young guys being hungry and wanting to kind of get their reps. This wide receiver position has gotten progressively deeper throughout your entire time here. Like, what's that like now, though, as a guy that you're back, you're still fighting, you still want to be top dog while you have way more guys to fight off than you did at the start of your career?
It's fun. I love it, honestly, because, you know, there's a lot of stuff you can learn from other people. You know, it's just good to have good dudes in the room and more athletes that you got to compete with to ensure that you got to earn your job. You know, it's not just given to you. So, you know, that's something I'm going to have to do when I get to the next level, deal with competition. So that's something I thrive off of, and it's going to continue to get this room better.
Yanni, obviously transferring is part of the game these days, especially a quarterback, but I'm just curious what your emotions were with Tyler, your guy from Arizona, leaving, and now what your chemistry is with Anthony Brown now that he's been here for.
Tyler, obviously he's going to do everything that's best for him. I don't really want to talk too much about somebody that's not a Duck, but, you know, I got all respect for him and hope, everything goes well for him in the future. You know, but Anthony's doing a great job. He's continued to get better and, you know, dive into this playbook and run this team like he should.
What can you say about the three freshmen who obviously not a lot of people have seen, they haven't played college games yet. What have you seen from those three guys? And then Robbie, can you imagine doing two sports like that and juggling it? How difficult is that and impressive that he's been able to do so?
They're doing a good job. You know, practice is exciting. You know, that we see a lot of playmakers and, you know, Ty, Robbie, Butter, they're all doing a great job. And I think Robbie being able to juggle baseball and football and school at the same time is impressive. And he's doing a great job too.
What do you see from DJ and Dante, since he didn't get, you know, a chance to really do a whole lot last year before getting hurt? What do you see from those guys?
DJ is definitely a sleeper. He brings physicality and he brings that energy to the defense. I love the way he's been playing. He's continued to get me better even last year, but he's continued to do that this year. Obviously, Mikhail's doing a great job over there. Dante's doing an excellent job. He's, you know, he had a lot of injuries last year, but he's making strides this year and diving into his playbook and getting us right and getting us better.
What do you perceive the ceiling for this group to be? I mean, I look at it and think you've got you and Jalen back, two guys who've been here a long time, a lot of experience, a lot of plays made. You've got Micah and Devin, two guys who showed quite a bit last year, and then some really good, exciting young players, a couple that just enrolled. I mean, it seems like the sky's kind of the limit. I mean, how do you look at this group and get excited just thinking about what you guys could achieve?
It's funny you say that because, you know, our saying as a group is no limit. We break that down every day. So, you know, the sky is really the limit for us. I think we could be one of those groups that goes down in history. When you look back, you know, one of those like Bama where they have Jerry Jeudy and, you know, and all these players that go there, you know, we're going to be one of those groups that's talked about for a long time.
Name, image, likeness is coming up now for players, for all athletes. And it's how much of this is part of the thought process of what the future could look like for all you guys?
It's interesting. Just seeing, you know, the opportunities players have now to get some money in their pocket, different stuff like that. You know, it's cool, but, you know, my focus is ball. That's my number one focus, ball in school or get my degree. So, you know, that stuff will come, you know, as time goes on. But, you know, my focus is football in school at the end of the day.
What are the dynamics like in a locker room where you're 5 years older than some of your teammates? I'm sure George Moore is 6 or 7 years older. I mean, like, there's such a wide range of ages in this locker room.
It's cool. It's interesting because I remember I was one of those young guys with dudes like Royce Freeman in the locker room, and you know, it's just fun. You know, we get to see a lot of different perspectives, and you know, the younger guys get to learn a lot from the older guys. So I think it's going to do nothing but make this team even stronger and help us win games.
Good stuff from Johnny Johnson talking about that wide receiver position and more. I thought a really good interview with Johnny. He's had a lot of good things to say. I'm Joey Mack coming up. We're going to talk a little Oregon soccer. We'll give you a little preview of what's to come for a team that's on the hunt for the postseason for the first time in program history. Also, a full schedule ahead as the Ducks have tons of top 25 matchups this weekend. Keep it here on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
Hi, welcome to the Spicy Drive-In. May I take your order?
Can I get the spicy chicken sandwich, please?
The spicy chicken is an excellent choice, sir. And to drink?
Whatever's fine.
Oh, may I make a beverage pairing recommendation this evening?
Sure.
If we are feeling especially bold tonight, sir, I would recommend the Mountain Dew with that. It's bravely unrestrained with a very alive aroma that pairs wonderfully with your spicy chicken. It's followed by a hint of zesty citrus flavor.
Yeah, that sounds amazing.
I'm sure you already know this, sir, but remember to appreciate the nose first by giving the Mountain Dew a little swirl to really volatize it.
What?
To change the flavor compounds and activate your taste buds to get them fully primed for that chicken sandwich.
Ah, it's delicious.
Now you're getting the hang of it. The muscular flavor charge characteristics of Mountain Dew make for an absolutely epic mouthfeel when paired with spicy cuisine. It is quite on point, sir.
Dude, it's a perfect match. Like they were made for each other.
So true, so true.
When you want to make good food bolder and bold food better, do the Dew.
Don't go anywhere. Duck Insider continues after these messages on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College. Learfield IMG College.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind. Life is worth more than a text. Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Everybody buckle up.
Mom, 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 mom.
Buckle up.
Let's go.
Buckle up.
Can we go to the store?
Come on, buckle
can we
up.
Get some ice cream?
Come on, come on, come on, come on.
Everybody, buckle up.
A lot goes on in the car, but you're in control. So only move when you hear the click that says they're buckled in. Never give up until they buckle up. Learn more at safercar.gov/kidsbuckleup. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Duck Insider, presented by On Point Community Credit Union. Joey Mack with you. Today's show brought to you by Shadow Hills Country Club, your family resort just minutes from home. Call for a tour today. Earlier this week, yesterday actually, got a chance to catch up with Graham Abel as the Ducks are heading up the road to the Great Purple North. That would be Washington and Seattle, to be exact. Oregon at 3 o'clock today will take on the Huskies. Then Graham Abel's squad will conclude the trip to the state of Washington with a 1 o'clock meeting in Pullman on Sunday. Graham Abel, a couple thoughts on his squad that I'm not going to say too much here because he would hate me. But they are in the hunt for the postseason right now. This is a huge weekend. If the Ducks get a win, maybe two, maybe even just draw a couple, sets up nicely for the Ducks in terms of having a resume that's going to put them in the postseason. We're just about 3 weeks away from that. Before the trip to Washington, Graham Abel talked to the media.
Good week of practice. You know, we're recovery Monday, day off Tuesday. Just practiced this morning. You know, we felt coming off of both of the games. We actually played some of our best soccer all year in both of those games. You know, we just weren't. You know, we talk about being ruthless in the final third. We just didn't have that part of our game this past weekend. But from adding another layer to the long-term kind of plan, we played some really good stuff this weekend. And like I said, just didn't take our opportunities. And Colorado did on Sunday, and Utah were able to hold us on Friday. So all credit to those teams.
Yeah, Graham, three games left here in the regular season. What would you like to see this team do? I mean, you kind of mentioned finishing in the final third is definitely seems to be a big part of that. But is there anything else that, you know, you'd like to see to end the regular season on a note where you walk into the off season and go, all right, you know, we got those things right before we go in?
Not all of our pieces are in place. Everything that we kind of threw at the team when we spoke about it at the start is starting to kind of play out. It's continuing to get more efficient, like we talked about in the final third. You know, we're starting to create multiple chances in a game now. You know, Colorado, you know, extremely good team. You know, Utah are a good team, you know. So we're able to create genuine multiple goal-scoring opportunities against those teams. So we've got to be at the point of a game right now where, you know, we create two of those opportunities, we score two goals, and then it's a different type of game where we're able to control games. So continue with that piece, continue, you know, to evolve defensively. You know, we've come across some teams now that decide to kick long. They know we press them. They know we know we're a pretty good, you know, pressing team. So they'll kick long, and how do we adjust to that piece if a team doesn't allow us to press? And so it's the entire, you know, I couldn't pick one area. You know, we're still by no means the finished product. So we've got to continue to evolve in every area of our game.
Coach, you mentioned after Colorado that was, you know, from my perspective too, the best first half of soccer you played all season. What was kind of the attitude this week during practice, knowing you played so well, but also didn't pick up a win this weekend?
No different than, you know, post the Stanford Cal weekend, post the weekend when we beat Stanford, post the Arizona weekends. We try to stay even keeled across the board because our long-term objectives remain the same. You know, nothing really changes. You know, if we won both games 3-0 this weekend, we'd have taken the exact same approach. You know, we've got to continue to be better and better in all areas. And we're at a point right now in the season anyway where our practices are minimal. It's about making sure we're able to perform. I mean, you guys have watched us play enough now. We expend a lot of energy when we play. So, it's about being able to perform on a Friday and Sunday. You know, we've started to grow as and evolve as a road team. You know, that was something we identified as something within the program where we felt as though, you know, with any, you know, quality program, you have to be good on the road. So, you know, we've identified what we need versus both opponents. You know, we spoke about the game plan this morning with regards to Washington. So that's in place. And you know, now we'll prepare as normal, you know, with our normal Thursday practice, and we fly down to Seattle, up to Seattle tomorrow.
Have you been back to Pullman since you were an assistant coach there?
Once. They used to host the ODP regional in Moscow, Idaho, which at the University of Idaho, my wife used to work when I met her there. So we went back there once. So I have not been back to Pullman.
Graham, you talk about, you said your group's had a pretty even keel attitude, and that's what you want. You know, how did that mentality come about? And I guess, do you like seeing your group have that mentality this week coming off that performance?
Yeah, you know, we watch a lot of video as a group, and we video everything, you know what I mean? And that's the beauty of it, you know what I mean? You're able to look at the performances. You know, we have a couple of different companies that, you know, do statistical packages for us. So that tells us that, you know, 9 times out of 10, you're going to win these games, you know, and the nature of our sport. And, you know, you could argue that we've done it to a couple of teams where, you know, it might appear as though the game is going one way and we hit them with something at the end, the knockout punch. And, you know, for probably the first time we were on the end of that knockout punch and, you know, we're probably a bit more of a known commodity now as well as a team. And so it's for our student athletes to understand that piece that, you know, it's teams maybe prepare for us a little bit differently now as well. So, you know, we know what we have to do in order to have a good performance. And then we're confident enough that, you know, if we put in what we need and we put that performance in, then, you know, 9 times out of 10, we're going to get the result that we need. Every now and again, there'll be one that doesn't go our way, and that's just the nature of the beast. And we've got to continue to evolve so our performances are better and better each time, that eliminates the chance of that happening.
Do you think that teams are getting more aware of your style and what this team's identity is starting to become under you and this new staff? And how do you evolve, as you kind of mentioned?
Yeah, I mean, for sure. I'm sure, you know, coaches and teams were not overly aware about what we were going to do, you know, and so, you know, it's a, as we continue to evolve, I think I've said it in the past, we have an identity. We're not going to change that identity, but it's up to us to continue to make sure that identity gets stronger and stronger and stronger. We'll be a front foot program in terms of how we play and how we go about things. We want to be fun to watch, which hopefully you guys have enjoyed watching us this season. So we want to continue with that, we want to continue to be more, more prolific in the attacking end and continue to be tighter on the defending end as well of things. So it's, we're by no means anywhere close to where we want to get to, but we're certainly on that journey, and we're on a good path to that, on that journey.
How's Jordan doing? What's her status? And then also any other injury updates with Hannah? And is there any chance we see Callan this season?
Jordan Warndahl is cleared, so she's back in practice. Okay. We're good. Callan got her boots off about a week ago and declared herself fit for the Washington game, so we had to have our athletic trainer say, no, you're not fit for the Washington game. So Callan's a kid who'll run through a brick wall for the program, literally. So we probably won't see Callan this season. She's going to be an awesome addition for our program, and you guys get to see her play live. I mean, if you think we've got some quick players, wait till you see this kid play. I mean,
yeah, that's pretty darn cool. Callan Harrington, I think that it's too bad. One of the most prolific recruits in the history of the program. Haven't had a chance to see her in action yet. We had her on the show, and man, she was just a ball of energy. Looking forward to seeing what she can do for this program now moving forward. That's Graham Abel, though, talking about a team that is in the hunt for the postseason for the first time in a while, and that's fun. It's really, really fun to see. Up next, full schedule for Oregon Athletics this weekend, because there's tons of it going on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
From the weight room to the classroom, on the field and off it, OnPoint proudly supports University of Oregon Athletics, because student athletes do so much more than bring us pride on game day. They bring our entire community together in Eugene and all across Oregon. So whether you're watching the game in the stadium, at home, or at your favorite local business, their success makes all of us stronger. OnPoint Community Credit Union. Join in. OnPointCU.com. Federally insured by NCUA. Equal housing opportunity.
After 2 years of construction, my wife and I finally moved into our dream home. So when a bathtub fixture broke, causing major water damage, I was glad we had the home insurance protection we needed. How do you know your home is protected? Talk to a Country Financial rep like me, Nick Simon. We can help you understand your options and select coverages to meet your needs. Then if something happens to your home, you won't have any surprises. Need the right coverage for your home but not sure where to start? Visit TakeSimpleSteps.com or contact a local Country representative.
Duck Insider, Duck Insider, Duck Insider continues after this timeout on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
Most of my family, they never graduated high school, so I'm trying to break that barrier.
My daughter, Brooklyn, was also a motivation for me to go back to school.
Every day after work, went straight to school, and it paid off.
At age 26, Kareem finished his high school diploma.
I could not have done it alone. I see the future is really bright for me.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
You took the first step and quit smoking, but even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Up, Duck Insider, presented by OnPoint Community Credit Union. Joey Mack here with you. Thanks to Graham Abel, Alex Forsythe, Johnny Johnson, Mark Wazkowski. Tons of interviews today. Going through the schedule for the weekend as we wrap things up. If you're just live with us in the 1 o'clock hour, Oregon women's tennis is going to be in action this afternoon, as is Oregon soccer at 3 o'clock up in Seattle. Also, Oregon lacrosse is in action down in Berkeley at 5 o'clock. And I'm really excited to tell you that Oregon softball starts its four-game series against another top five team in UCLA, a pair of top five teams going at it. And then Oregon baseball, 7 o'clock. Man, it's going to be a good time for Oregon baseball at 7 o'clock tonight. Lots of Diamond Sports, lots of stuff going on. We'll recap it all on Monday's edition of Duck Insider. See you then, everybody.
When you went car shopping, you meant business. You ace vehicle history searches and test drives. You out salesman to the salesman. Now you've got your wheels. If you manage that, you can get your retirement plan on track. Visiting aceyourretirement.org can help. With 401k tips and smart saving strategies, you'll have the info you need to get more for your future. Go to aceyourretirement.org, because when it comes to speeding past financial challenges, you're an ace. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
GTG, BRB, OMW, be there in a few. You may think that these kinds of texts are fine because of their length and you can easily send them at a stoplight. But no, answering one text can take your attention away from the road for 5 seconds. And traveling at 55 miles an hour, that's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Make good decisions. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopRex.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Hey everyone, let's all stop what we're doing and take a moment. You see? Every moment can be kind of special. But they can be loud moments, goofy moments, dorky moments, it doesn't matter. Because every time dads like us take a moment like that to spend with our kids, well, it's pretty momentous. So let's take a moment to make a moment. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Hello, it's me, the designer jeans in the back of your closet. What happened to us? I used to summer in the Hamptons, and now I'm stuck behind a pair of sweats. Okay, maybe I never really fit you right, but I got a lot more Sunday fun days left in me. So take me to Goodwill, where I can really make a difference.
Your donations to Goodwill create jobs, training programs, and education assistance for people in your community. To find your nearest donation center, go to goodwill.org. Donate stuff. Create jobs. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
You've been listening to Duck Insider on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield, IMG College. Presented by On Point Community Credit Union. Better banking, local solutions. The preceding has been a Learfield, IMG College presentation of the Oregon Sports Network.
One, two, three, four. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.